Federal benefits listed may be available on all plans or a single benefit package. Enrollment in the described plan type may be limited to certain times of the year unless you qualify for a special enrollment period. No obligation to enroll.
Cracking down on Iran. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, saying the Iranian government must make several major policy changes soon to avoid even more tough sanctions.
Iran must end its proliferation of ballistic missiles and halt further launching or development of nuclear-capable missile systems. Iran must release all U.S. citizens, as well as citizens of our partners and allies, each of them detained on spurious charges. Iran must end support to Middle East terrorist groups, including Lebanese Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad.
He was speaking to the Heritage Foundation. Meanwhile, President Trump signs new sanctions into force against Venezuela a day after its socialist president, Nicolas Maduro, won elections that are widely panned as having been fraudulent. The sanctions stopping short of clamping down on that South American country's oil industry, but do severely limit its ability to liquidate its assets. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
President Trump praises the CIA and the first woman ever chosen to direct it. At a swearing-in ceremony for Gina Haspel yesterday, the president said those at the CIA are the best intelligence people on the planet.
Gina is tough. She is strong. And when it comes to defending America, Gina will never, ever back down. I know her.
President Trump is to host a meeting with the South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the White House today. The meeting is ahead of the president's planned summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, which is still set for next month. North Korea did threaten to pull out of that meeting last week in a dispute over joint military exercises between the U.S. and South Korea, and the North remains angry about President Trump's insistence on full denuclearization, but the Trump-Kim summit is still set for June 12th in Singapore. The Trump administration is floating a plan to repeal a 2015 rule that banned some types of aggressive hunting and millions of acres of federal land in Alaska. If approved, hunters would be allowed to shoot bear cubs in their dens, use lights to hunt bears, and to shoot swimming caribou from motorboats. Environmental groups are outraged. They say it opens the door to the senseless slaughter of iconic Alaskan wildlife. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
The time is 10:04. It's time for Hunterton Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it is 63 degrees, overcast skies, and 90% chance of precipitation. Rain beginning around quarter to noon. Periods of rain today, thunder is possible, a high of 66, winds light and variable. Chance of rain is 90%. Cloudy this evening, fog developing late, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, a low of 58. Chance of morning shower tomorrow, some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon, a high of 81. Sunny and 80 on Thursday, sunny and 84 on Friday. Sunny, a stray shower, thunderstorm, 87 on Saturday. Clouds in the morning, then off and on rain showers on Sunday, 79. Memorial Day, cloudy with occasional rain showers, high of 66, chance of rain 50%. Temperatures in area, 63 in Raritan, 63 in Lambertville, 60 at the county complex, 61 in Stockton, 59 in West Portal, 61 in Tewksbury, 61 in Washington Township, and 63 in Asbury. Stay tuned for Tech Today in just a moment on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com, the voice of business. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I'm the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve the business. We do that by accomplishing the wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers, be they seeking solutions for personal or business use, can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I'll focus on topics about technology. Segments could include technology news, latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can message me there. Email me at goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. Phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. To contact me outside the show, go to BluePantherBIZ.com, and you can get all the information about me there. All right, folks, it's Tuesday, and so we cover technology, and there's never a shortage of technology news. It's unbelievable how much is out there and how fast things are coming at us. Some of our news, unfortunately, causes us harm, and this is why I do this, is to make you informed on all aspects of technology. There are some times when technology is awesome, but there are some times when technology is, quite honestly, a real problem. Me and my numb thumb, a tale of tech, texts, and tendons. This is written in the New York Times, written by Nellie Bowles on May 19th. And she says, it took me a few months to accept that I had given myself tendinosis in my phone thumb. It is depressing. Modern conditions in which the tendons around the thumb inflame as a result of repetitive strain. In my case, because I had 4 hours a day over years of life tapped that right thumb digit onto the glass of my smartphone. The condition sounds like the subject of a local television news trend story about teenagers whose thumbs seize up while they play video games. It was definitely not something I, a mature professional, should ever have. I began to call it my numb thumb. I had tried to prevent it using other fingers on my phone when I felt early signs of pain. But they typed too slowly, so I stuck with my thumb, pressing it down to unlock the screen, and then using it to jab out texts and emails. Eventually, my right thumb just stopped working. It could not muster the strength to press down on my phone. It was both numb and achy, and the pain that I had started in my hand had now shooting down my arm. I had a problem, one I later learned was becoming common. Suddenly, friends and coworkers all seemed to have similar stories about their thumbs, plus wrist braces I could borrow. And experts told me that although there is plenty of discussion about how teenagers are addicted to technology, adults are actually hit the hardest. My doctor, who had me make a painful fist, said I might have something called D. Quervain's tendinosis, which affects tendons on the thumb side of the wrist and is caused by chronic overuse of those tendons. They admonished me about tech addiction and about how if I continued this way, I could need surgery. He sent me for acupuncture, which I had never tried before. It's a crisis, said Sanjeev Karkar, an orthopedic surgeon at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota who specializes in hand injuries and has seen an increase in the number of thumb overuse cases. Dr. Karkar said he had noticed that the condition was spreading among adults and older people in particular. Your joints are a little stiffer, he told me. Your tendons aren't as pliable as they used to be. He added that numbness could be an early sign of carpal tunnel syndrome, or perhaps nerve compression that is typically associated with competitive bowling. Do I bowl? I do not bowl. I called it numb, but it was also very painful, I told Dr. Karkar. It seemed relieved. The best cure, he said, was to stop using the thumb for a while. Change your texting behavior, he said. That sounds logical and easy until you try an email left-handed. Adults with tech-related injuries often refuse to admit that they have a problem until injuries and addictive behavior progress to an extreme, said Nancy Ann Cheever, professor of communications at California State University, Dominguez Hills, who studies technology and addiction. We assume teenagers are using their phones more, but it's actually not the case, because younger people tend to have a lot more awareness of their smartphone use, she said. They have more complete understanding of the harmful effects of smartphone use because they've been taught about it since they were kids. Dr. Cheever has just completed a study on how anxious people get when they hear their phones receiving texts that they have been told not to answer. She measured their heart rates and how much they sweat. Very stressed, she said, summarizing the preliminary results. When I recently walked into the office of Michelle Carota, a San Francisco acupuncturist, she said I was one of the lucky ones. She had just had two patients whose phone hands hurt so much that they had to take leaves of absence from work. They were dropping things, Ms. Carota said. They couldn't eat with forks. She said that it was unnatural or concentrate so much movement in one digit on such a small, flat surface. We're not meant to just use our thumbs all the time, she said. We're meant to use all our fingers. That's why our grip is for. She said the reason some people get phone thumb and others do not often comes down to stress. Cortisol and adrenaline, which the body releases when it feels stress, makes one prone to inflammation and contributes to conditions like the one I was experiencing. She asked if I felt stressed, and I described a typical day monitoring Twitter. You kind of have a pre-existing condition just because of your lifestyle, she said. Ms. Carota left me with a cluster of needles in my hand and arm and told me to do body scans for an hour. She also prescribed several antidotes. They included turmeric, an anti-inflammatory, and cannabidiol, a non-psychotropic marijuana plant extract more commonly known as CBD. Panic over tech addiction comes and goes. When a new study comes out with jarring numbers on a fancy new gadget in the market, the flurry of stories and conversations will start anew. We tell ourselves the bigger issue must be among the teenagers, and quickly we all get over it. After a few weeks of resting my right thumb, it felt a lot better and almost completely back to normal. I use my left hand now, quite a lot, in fact. So, folks, I used to get notice that when I was playing video games, with my kids and my friends that my right hand and wrist would hurt. And I quickly realized I had to do something different. And so I don't play video games that often anymore. Texting, I would suggest you look into the keyboards that are out there. There is Swipe, which allows you to type with your finger, your index finger, as opposed to your thumbs. I would also suggest that you look into dictating with your voice. That's another possibility. Certainly not something you want to do all the time. You don't want to do dictating a text in the middle of a restaurant, but it can alleviate the problem when you're sitting there by yourself. And it's not hard to do nowadays with Cortana or Google or Alexa or whatever. So look into doing other things besides using your thumbs. Try and use other fingers. You might even do it with your index finger, just doing the old tapping. We're at our first break. We'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a few minutes on Hunter and Chamber Radio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Thank you.
You're listening to Tech Today, and we're on Hunt Chamber Radio.com, the voice of business. More to talk about with regard to technology. Let's find out what else we have to cover today. I don't know about you, but I personally am not a big fan of yard work. And when I do Good Morning Hunting and we're talking about the open spaces and the agriculture of Hunterdon County, one of the things that comes to mind constantly is the fact that people have to deal with weeds. It's a joke that goes on in our house because, you know, you get the rain and the humidity like we've gotten over the last couple of days, and it turns out you can't get out there to take care of the weeds, and they seem to be the things that's growing the best. Well, looks like there might be some opportunity for me in the near future. Robots might be fighting weeds in challenge to agrochemical giants. Reuters on Yahoo Finance published this, written by Ludwig Berger and Tom Polensek. It says that in a field of sugar beet in Switzerland, a solar-powered robot that looks like a table on wheels scans the rows of crops with its camera, identifies weeds, and zaps them with jets of blue liquid from its mechanical tentacles. Undergoing final tests before the liquid is replaced with weed killer, the Swiss robot is one of the new breed of AI weeders that investors say could disrupt the $100 million pesticides and seeds industry by reducing the need for universal herbicides in the genetically modified crops that tolerate them. Dominated by companies such as Bayer, DowDuPont, BASF, and Syngenta, the industry is bracing for impact of digital agricultural technology, and some firms are already adapting their business models. The stakes are high. Herbicide sales are worth $26 billion a year and account for 46% of pesticides revenue overall, while 90% of GM seeds have some herbicide tolerance built in, according to a market research Phillips McDougall. Some of the profit pools that are now in the hands of big agrochemical companies will shift partly in the farmer and partly in the equipment manufacturers. Cedric LeCamp, who runs a $1 billion Pictet Nutrition Fund that invests in companies along the food supply chain. In response, producers such as Germany's Bayer have sought partners for their own precision sprayer systems, while ChemChina's Syngenta, for example, is looking to develop crop protection products suited for the new equipment. While still in the infancy, the plant-by-plant approach heralds a marked shift from standard methods of crop production. Now, non-selective weed killers such as Monsanto's Roundup are sprayed on vast tracts of land planted with tolerant GM seeds, driving one of the most lucrative business models in the industry. But EcoRobotics, developer of Swiss Weeder, believes its design could reduce the amount of herbicide farmers use by 20 times. The company said it is close to signing a financial round with investors and is due to go on the market by early 2019. Blue River, a Silicon Valley startup bought by U.S. Tractor company Deere & Company for $305 million last year, has also developed a machine using onboard cameras to distinguish weeds from crops and only squirt herbicides where necessary. Its See and Spray weed control machine, which has been tested in U.S. cotton fields, is towed by a tractor, and the developer estimate it could cut herbicide use by 90% once crops have started growing. German engineer company Robert Bosch is also working on similar precision spraying kits as all other startups such as Denmark's Agrontelli. Robo Global, an advisory firm that runs a robotics and automotive investment index tracked by funds worth a combined $4 billion, believes plant-by-plant precision spraying will only gain in importance. A lot of technology is already available. It's just a question of packaging it together at the right cost for the farmer, said Richard Lightbound, Robo's CEO for Europe the Middle East, and Africa. If you can reduce herbicides by the factor of 10, it becomes very compelling for the farmer in terms of productivity. It's also eco-friendly, and that's clearly going to be very popular. If it's not compulsory at some stage, he said. White Blue River, based in Sunnyvale, California, is testing a product in cotton fields. It plans to branch into more major crops such as soy. It expects to make the product widely available to farmers in about 4 to 5 years, helped by Deere's vast network of equipment dealers. Robo's Lightbound and Pickles LeCamp said they were excited by the project, and it said Genevieve Shaw, deputy manager of the 152 million pound Saracen Food and Agricultural Opportunities Fund, and the technology would put Bayer and Syngenta's crop businesses at risk, while seed firms could be hit, albeit to a lesser extent. So I don't know about you, I feel pretty good about that. And it sounds, you know, we're on the verge now where organic farming and organic products are more sought after now than typical. I remember when organic was first coming out, it was a very small footprint in the supermarket. Now it's become very large. This could propel us in that direction. We've figured out as a society that herbicides and chemicals are not good for us, but we also like the food that we eat, and that food is also very nutritious. So if there's somehow we can be more efficient by reducing the weeds and killing the weeds with an herbicide only at the weed and stop genetically changing the products, I think that's a win-win. But just like all the rest of the industries, farming now again, and the growth industry, seeds and agribusiness, is going to be disrupted because of this concept. Very cool stuff. Looking forward to that, and hopefully our folks in the Hunterdon County area will be embracing it as well by, quote-unquote, when it reaches that factor of 10. We're at our halfway point. We're going to do the news, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a minute.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A manhunt continues in Maryland for several suspects after a Baltimore County police officer is killed in the line of duty answering a burglary call yesterday afternoon. Police have not released details about how she died. Police Chief Terrence Sheridan says,
"We received a call at our 911 center about a possible burglary with four suspects. Our patrol officer responded, and from that point, she was injured, and we are now investigating this as a homicide."
Some witnesses told reporters they saw the woman get struck by a vehicle. Others say she was shot. President Trump's to meet with the South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the White House today. It's primary day in four states. Voters to cast ballots in Texas, Georgia, Kentucky, and Arkansas. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Call now.
800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. That's 800-635-6303.
Double benefits listed may be available on all plans or on a single benefit package. Enrollment in the described plan type may be limited to certain times of the year unless you qualify for a special enrollment period. No obligation to enroll.
Cracking down on Iran, the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying the Iranian government must make several major policy changes soon to avoid even more tough sanctions.
Iran must end its proliferation of ballistic missiles and halt further launching or development of nuclear-capable missile systems. Iran must release all U.S. citizens, as well as citizens of our partners and allies, each of them detained on spurious charges. Iran must end support to Middle East terrorist groups, including Lebanese Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad.
He was speaking to the Heritage Foundation. Meanwhile, President Trump signs new sanctions into force against Venezuela a day after its socialist president, Nicolas Maduro, won elections that are widely panned as having been fraudulent. The sanctions stopping short of clamping down on that South American country's oil industry, but do severely limit its ability to liquidate its assets. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
President Trump praises the CIA and the first woman ever chosen to direct it. At a swearing-in ceremony for Gina Haspel yesterday, the president said those at the CIA are the best intelligence people on the planet.
Gina is tough. She is strong. And when it comes to defending America, Gina will never, ever back down. I know her.
President Trump is to host a meeting with the South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the White House today. The meeting is ahead of the president's planned summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, which is still set for next month. North Korea did threaten to pull out of that meeting last week in a dispute over joint military exercises between the U.S. and South Korea, and the North remains angry about President Trump's insistence on full denuclearization, but the Trump-Kim summit is still set for June 12th in Singapore. The Trump administration is floating a plan to repeal a 2015 rule that banned some types of aggressive hunting and millions of acres of federal land in Alaska. If approved, hunters would be allowed to shoot bear cubs in their dens, use lights to hunt bears, and to shoot swimming caribou from motorboats. Environmental groups are outraged. They say it opens the door to the senseless slaughter of iconic Alaskan wildlife. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is Tech Today, and you're on HuntingChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB. One of the things I've been talking about on this show has been the concept of Bitcoin and blockchain. Now, a quick summary. Blockchain, Bitcoin, is based on blockchain. Blockchain is a computer programming process where they want to keep track of every transaction that takes place historically. So let's imagine for a moment the dollar bill that you might have in your pocket. That dollar bill has a serial number on it. And as soon as it's minted, somebody records that it's been minted and where it's sitting. At some point, that dollar bill gets moved to a bank. And they record that it was moved from a mint to the bank. Now, the bank, you come in and you get a transaction and you ask for a withdrawal from your bank account. And the teller counts out the money and happens to contain this dollar bill. Another recording is made that the bank gave that dollar bill to you. You go down to the newspaper store and you buy a newspaper. You hand the dollar bill to that person. Now we've made it a recording that you gave the dollar bill to the store owner. Store owner takes it home, puts it back in the bank. Now the bank has it again. Goes back out. Every one of those transactions, every time that dollar bill has been handed from one person to another, from one organization to another, blockchain is ultimately trying to keep track of that. That is not something that happens with a dollar bill. This keeps track of the money and also makes sure that all the money is accounted for. A lot of processing power to do that. So one of the things that has been talked about with regard to blockchain and specifically Bitcoin right now, but it's any cryptocurrency, is that the processing power to achieve this on a macro scale is very difficult. It costs a lot of programming power and electricity to do that. Well, ironically, I came across an article the other day in which I saw it and I said, oh, I got to talk about this because this is reaffirming what we're talking about right now. Now, I'm not saying after we go through this that Bitcoin is dead. And I am not saying that this won't be rectified. But I am telling you that this is the challenge that right now blockchain and Bitcoin is facing. And so this kind of brings it into perspective. Published on the 21st, John Leonard of Computing, I saw this article on the businessisgreen.com. It says, Bitcoin now uses as much energy as Ireland. Electricity consumption doubles in the last 6 months, with the trajectory likely to continue, says PwC economist. The global Bitcoin network currently consumes at least 2.55 gigawatts of electricity, a figure that has roughly doubled in the last 6 months, as new research suggests power demand could triple by the end of 2018. The study was conducted by Alex de Vries, a Dutch economist working for PwC. Titled Bitcoin's Growing Energy Problem, his paper is published in the energy journal Joule. The Bitcoin blockchain uses an algorithm known as Proof of Work, POW, to achieve its security and distributed consensus. So-called miners are paid in Bitcoin as they verify the agreed state of the ledger. It is this process that gobbles up the lion's share of the energy required to keep the cryptocurrency functioning. De Vries acknowledges the difficulty in estimating the true energy consumption of the Bitcoin blockchain owing to the uncertainty about the relative contributions of CPU work, cooling, and other uses of electricity, as well as secrecy around Bitcoin mining operations. As a result, hard numbers are difficult to come by. The lowest estimate for current energy usage is based on the assumption that 10,000 nodes in the Bitcoin network are all single, highly efficient, purpose-built machines such as the Antminer S9. In this case, the total electricity consumed would be around 2.55 gigawatts, or less than the use of by Ireland. However, most miners are likely to be considerably less efficient of the 2.5 gigawatts, of demand and should be considered a lowest case scenario. Predicting future energy use is even more difficult since it will depend on loosely correlated factors such as the price of Bitcoin, efficiency improvements to the application's specific integrated circuits, electricity prices, the number of new miners, local restrictions, and many other issues. De Vries' economic model matches the marginal costs of Bitcoin mining. Electricity consumed by POW and cooling, as well as equipment purchase and depreciation, with Bitcoin earned, reasoning that most miners will not run at a loss. He arrives at a ballpark figure of 7.67 gigawatts, a little less than demand from the whole country of Austria. This level of demand is likely to be reached within a year, and possibly even as soon as the end of 2018, DeVries said. Such a scenario would mean Bitcoin accounted for 0.5% of global electricity usage. If this rate of increase, doubling or every six months, continues as seems likely, Bitcoin's energy consumption could quickly become completely unsustainable. Bitcoin's closest crypto rival Ethereum is showing a similar rate of increase, according to DigiEconomist, a cryptocurrency analyst site founded by DeVries, but currently consumes about a third as much power as Bitcoin. The enormous energy consumption of Bitcoin, the first blockchain-based cryptocurrency and associated environmental footprint, has led to some other currencies and decentralized networks looking away from the energy-intensive POW process and towards alternative distributed consensus models such as proof of stake, something Ethereum's developers have said they are working towards, delegated proof of stake, proof of capacity, or proof of resource. Meanwhile, cryptocurrency miners are traveling the globe in search of cheap, lower carbon electricity. Iceland has become a popular location because of its low cost, low carbon geothermal resources, but already miners are using more than the country's citizens. Last year, miners were chartering 747s to fly in the latest ASICs and the graphics processing units to stay ahead of the competition, which would have rather undermined an environmental savings. So this is where we're at. And the problem is that Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general is growing at such a fast rate that I don't believe we're going to have the electricity consumption problem solved. So there will be a crisis. The question is, will cryptocurrency weather that? So that will be interesting. Chances are it's going to evolve. When you get to a crisis, all of a sudden you find a way to survive. But it won't be the way it has been, and therefore we'll get to a new state. Will it be as secure? Well, that's a different question. Sometimes you have to make a sacrifice, at least temporarily, and we'll see what happens. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is what's on the horizon, not too far from right now. And so as you are investing in cryptocurrency, thinking you're going to make millions of dollars, beware that that day of reckoning will be here sooner rather than later. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. 10:42, let's take another commercial break, and I'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunter in just a moment.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, here we are. You're listening to Tech Today, and we're on WHCR-DB, HuntingChamberRadio.com, the voice of business. Near and dear to our heart, the cable company. Comcast, which is around here, known as also Xfinity, is got a new Wi-Fi upgrade coming out, and unfortunately it's coming with a little bit of a backfiring. Written on the bizjournals.com in the technology section by Michelle Caffrey, reporter of Philadelphia Business Journal, 2 hours ago. She says, this week in Comcast, as new Wi-Fi upgrade rolls out, so does a report on a security risk. Comcast got another step closer to executing its grand Wi-Fi plan on Monday, when it announced its XF1 branded extension pods are now available to its broadband customers nationwide. But will it help move the needle? The rollout is an attempt to dominate the Wi-Fi game, now its core business as the cable business sheds subscribers. Through the company's three areas of focus for that segment, speed, coverage, and control. Speed is an obvious one. Comcast has been ramping up its speeds for years, and the DOCSIS 3.1 tech that powers its residential gigabit speeds is close to fully deployed over Center City-based company's footprint. It's also in our New Jersey area, Hunterdon County area as well. The new pods, which plug into outlets to boost Wi-Fi signal in a home and its dead spots, make an coverage and aim to reduce the customer's friction that their home is Wi-Fi to zero. The pods are similar to those mesh Wi-Fi systems that are already out there, which are mostly designed to replace a central wireless router. Comcast pods are different in that they are set up to work with just Comcast's XF1 gateway, meaning if you own your own router and don't rent, you're sitting this one out. I do exactly that. I am not interested in renting a router from Comcast because you will pay for it numerous times over. Company says onboarding the pods is easy. Just a few clicks through the app. The at-home Wi-Fi system then works in an access point manager in the cloud and connects devices to the strongest signal nearby. It's not just about more Wi-Fi, it's about smarter Wi-Fi overall, said Comcast's Eric Schaefer, who is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Communications for Data and Mobility. The pods run $119 for three, $199 for six, and Comcast said starting later this year it will be let customers pay them off via a monthly payment plan. The pods are just a fraction of Comcast's Big Brother broadband plans, but looking big picture, there's a lot at stake. Even Comcast execs admit, with the challenges of today's pay TV market, doubling down on broadband is the company's best bet. The XF1 upgrades are designed to make Comcast stand out in the market. But there's at least one pesky problem. There's not a whole lot of market left. Moffitt Nathanson, analyst of Craig Moffitt, pointed out during the firm's recent State of the Industry conference call, residential broadband's penetration rate is at 80.2%, Moffitt said, and subscriber growth in the market has fallen from about 4%, where it stood for nearly 5 years, to 2.3% last quarter. That's a more sustainable number, he said, and assuming its plateau is at 2%, it's not a crazy assumption. It's not a market share story for cable. It's just a market story. It's a market maturation, he said. What we're looking at is a deceleration simply because we're getting closer to saturation. Comcast execs have still remained bullish in talking about the market potential and have more coming on the broadband front. Schaefer said that by the end of the third quarter, the company plans to ramp up the control part by making its XF1 system already capable of pausing Wi-Fi, managing passwords, and the like. A smart home hub. While that rollout is still in the works, there's plenty keeping Comcast busy elsewhere in the company. Comcast's bid to purchase UK satellite company Sky got a boost over the weekend after the country's cultural secretary said he didn't think Comcast's offer met the threshold for intervention, the BBC reports, and a final formal decision is expected in early June. But there's a lot more to come, competing bids and the verdict of AT&T trial to name a few, before the moving pieces fall in place. Back to broadband for a second. It's clear Comcast is all about growing its high-speed internet customer base, but a report from Ars Technica, John Brodkin, revealed that seemed to be a significant barrier for customers trying to activate service. Through multiple trials with different addresses in different cities and different occupancy situations, Brodkin found Comcast's online service required customers to pay $90 for an installation fee, even if a home is already physically connected to Comcast. There are a lot of sources at play, especially in Comcast's response, which changed as Brodkin's story developed. It's worth the read. Another one to file under doesn't look good in the broadband department is ZDNet reported that two security researchers found a bug on Comcast's website that by going through the computer system to activate a router allowed anyone with access to a home's full address to get the name and password for its Wi-Fi network. It doesn't take a tech genius to know that opening up your home Wi-Fi network to strangers is a gigantic risk. And Comcast pulled down the feature on the site as soon as the news outlet reached. But still, it's worth pointing out that the bug only impacted homes with a router rented from Comcast, which is also another way to get all those new XF1 perks. I continue to try and be agnostic of companies. I do that all the time. If you look at the rent that you're going to pay, it's something like $8 a month, you will pay for a router in the matter of less than a year. So after the next year, you're paying for a second router for no reason. So I go out and I buy my own routers. I'm also trying to buy my own cable box. That's a little bit harder to do, but I'm working on it, and we'll see if I can come up with it. Interesting stuff. A very big challenge there. Comcast is unfortunately the only game in town, most likely, so you have to go with it for right now. Last but not least, we're going to talk about health. Routine DNA screening moves into primary care. Published on Health Inc. on May 22nd by Michelle Andrews, it says that if you have a genetic mutation that increases your risk for treatable medical condition, would you want to know? For many people, the answer is yes, but typically such information has not been a part of routine primary care. For patients at Geisinger Health System, that will soon change. Starting in the next month or so, Pennsylvania-based system will offer DNA sequencing in 1,000 patients, with the goal of eventually extending the offer to 3 million Geisinger patients. The health system's test will look for a mutation in at least 77 genes. Many have been associated with medical conditions, dozens of them ranging from heart disease to cancer. Others have been linked to variability on how people respond to certain medicines based on heredity. We're giving more precision to the very important decisions that people need to make, says Dr. David Feinberg, Geisinger's president and CEO. In some way, that primary care providers currently suggest checking someone's cholesterol, he says, as would have the discussion with patients. It looks like we haven't done your genome, but don't we do that? Why don't we do that? But some physicians and health policy analysts question whether such genetic information is necessary to provide good primary care and whether handling such testing is feasible for many primary care physicians. The new clinical program builds on research biobank and genome sequencing initiating called MyCode that Geisinger started in 2007 to collect and analyze the patient's DNA. That effort has enrolled more than 200,000 people. Like MyCode, the new clinical program will be based on whole exome sequencing, analyzing the roughly 1% of the genome that provides instructions for making proteins which most known disease-causing mutations occur. So very interesting stuff, folks. That's coming in our direction in the very near future. So it's an interesting thing to think about. Are you prepared to allow that? Now, there's another back to that, and that is when that's stored in a database, there's people who have access to it other than you. And that's a big challenge. We talked about that a couple weeks ago when people were going on their Ancestry.com and going to the MyCode database. So be aware that there's trade-offs, but understand what those trade-offs are, which leads me back into why we do this show. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That's the mission of Tech Today, and hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening to Tech Today on WHCRDB, HuntingChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
She would have been a four-year veteran this July. She was doing her job today, responding to a call.
That's a Baltimore County police officer in Maryland speaking of an officer killed in a confrontation yesterday, responding to an afternoon call in Perry Hall about suspicious activity. Now police confirm a few hours later an arrest was made of one male suspect in connection with her death. They're still looking for three other suspects, though. Police have not released the officer's name, nor exactly how she was killed. The Kilauea volcano on Hawaii's Big Island still showing no signs of slowing down and continuing to erupt. There was an eruption at its summit last night, and lava from the volcano has crept onto the site of a geothermal power plant. Workers scrambling to shut that facility down. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-591-9426. That's 800-591-9426. 800-591-9426. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Immigration was the subject as President Trump hosted a dinner at the White House last evening for several Republican governors, calling for tougher immigration and the president again calling for tougher immigration enforcement.
We're also working with Congress to close the crippling loopholes in federal law, especially the disgraceful practice of catch and release. That's where you catch somebody, talk to them, sign them, and then you have to release them.
Earlier in the day,
thanks to our colleagues at the Department of Treasury, sanctions are going back in full effect and new ones are coming.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo threatening in a speech in Washington yesterday that Iran must change course.
Last week, we imposed sanctions on the head of Iran's central bank and other entities that were funneling money to the IRGC Quds Force. The Iranian regime should know that this is just the beginning.
Congressional primary elections being held in four states today. Voters are casting ballots in Texas, Georgia, Kentucky, and Arkansas. And this is USA Radio News.